Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, good Thursday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a great start to your day. Looks like we're going to have awesome weather today, I hope. At least that's what it looks like from everything I've seen. And looking outside, it looks like a beautiful morning thus far. Darren McFarland, that's me here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Will Adonik is hanging over in East Nashville. Chase McCabe is going to be on the afternoon show again today. So he'll be coming up at 2 o'clock with Floyd Reese, Marquise Munson, back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Well, we told you last week that the attendance in Canton, Ohio, for the Hall of Fame game, you know, that weekend that they have in Canton, Steelers versus Cowboys. That would have been a surefire sellout that it was not going to happen. No, nobody's going to be able to be in the stands. Well, they've taken it a step further, and Willie, the NFL has now said, you know what, we're just going to have to, unfortunately, cancel the whole weekend. The preseason game between Dallas and Pittsburgh and the enshrinement into the Hall of Fame is a no-go this year, which stinks. It was scheduled for August 6th.
And that falls in line with, you know, baseball in Cooperstown. They're not able to do their induction ceremony either. So, I guess we'll get a double. We'll get a double shot.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They'll have basically a double, not a doubleheader football game, but I guess two classes next year. So it has just all been shifted until next year. And I believe, from what I read, that it'll be the same matchup. It'll remain the Steelers versus the Cowboys, and they'll have the 2020 class come in. And so what do they go in as? Do they go in as the 2020 class in 21, or do they go in as the 2021 class?
I think you got to make that distinction. And Darren, let's also look at the bright side of this. Maybe, just maybe, they'll put a cap on how long you can speak because there's so many speakers.
Wouldn't that be great? Right. We always talk about things we're learning through all this that could change moving forward. Maybe next year they'll realize, or now that they have a double bill, that they've got to limit people. That's a good call. That's a really good call.
And also, I think they should reward any fan who can be there from the start to the finish of all the speeches of two different classes.
Will they try to really do that in one day, or do they mix it up until they spread it out and do it under or over 2 days?
That's a good question. They might want to think about 2 days.
Because you're right. A full day of that, I would feel horrible. Remember when we did? We went to the radio broadcasters, the first annual Broadcasters Hall of Fame.
Oh, and that's the quintessential.
Yeah. Late in the evening. One of the people that everybody was there to see, you know, he goes last and it's like half the room is gone and you felt horrible.
It was at least half. It might have been
at least half.
And I was trying so hard. And my wife, Erin, who is not as connected to the people there that night, she wanted to drag me out of there. I was like, we've got to stay for this guy. I mean, we cannot. Like, what if everybody left? If everybody left, then what would that look like, right? It's just you have this obligation to try to stick it out. But, man.
And it was John Ward, right?
Vols, yes, play-by-play John Ward.
Legend. Yeah, John freaking Ward.
We were trying. We were like, we have got to stay for John Ward.
I did.
We cannot leave John Ward.
It was so long. And you felt.
And poor John, he went up there, and he knew the situation. He read the room. He was like, I'm not going to. Like, he hardly spoke. It was like, wait a minute. This is who we wanted to hear from.
I know.
Not some of these other people. And it wasn't even the people being inducted. It was the people introducing the people.
Right.
Right? Sometimes they had an introducer to the introducer.
No, most of them did. Right?
Yes.
Most of them did.
Two introducers. That was brutal.
Well, and he was
and
really
we're talking
cool.
about radio people who love to talk.
What? Well, if you remember, and nothing against him because he was very excited to be there. And, you know, it was cool to see him there. And he was all about it, wasn't it?
I know.
It was Wink Martindale, right?
Yes, the famous game show host.
Yes, he talked for a long time. And he came all the way from L.A., I get it. So he traveled across the country, and, yeah, he talked for a really long time. And it was
We were in trouble when he brought up a three-ring binder for his speech. And he was turning pages in the binder, and I was like, we still got a lot of pages on this thing.
People are going, Wink Martindale, why would he be in the Tennessee Broadcasters Hall of Fame? I think he's from West Tennessee.
Yeah, I think, right? Yeah, he's from Tennessee, obviously.
He's from, like, Memphis or Jackson area. He's definitely from West Tennessee.
I was in the fog. I don't remember a lot of the details of his speech.
I think that's where he started his career, like in Memphis.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's right.
I mean, tic-tac-toe, I mean, come on.
That is the great example, though. And I've been to many of them, right, where the same thing happens. And you don't want to – I mean, it's somebody's big night, right? And usually it's many people's big night, and that's part of the problem. You have some great people you're inducting to some Hall of Fame, whether it be your high school Hall of Fame, a college Hall of Fame, in this case Tennessee Radio, the NFL Hall of Fame, as we have been stating. That's been a problem, right? It's ridiculous. Sometimes how long these people, they don't realize how long they're going, I think, in some cases. But you put a few of those together in a row, and you have a fatigued audience in a big way. I don't care how good they are at speaking, man. There's only so long. I mean, I had trouble getting through the 45-minute lecture at some of my Vanderbilt classes.
I'm with you. That's
so, like,
not.
If everybody's speaking for 20 minutes, you got issues. Your attention span is only so much.
Yeah, I'm with you. The Titans have made some front office hires that we need to pass along.
Yes, very intriguing.
Yeah. Longtime NFL executive and Nashville native. Adolfo Birch, is that right?
I think it's Adolfo Birch.
Adolfo Birch. Adolfo Birch. Sorry for messing that up. He is going to be the senior vice president business affairs and chief legal officer. Gosh, I never have titles that long. And then you've got Surf Melendez, who comes as a creative director, right? And Dan Worley becomes the new team's general counsel.
So really what they've done is they have beefed up, if you look, in the last, you know, couple months. Because remember, Burke Nihil was elevated to replace Steve Underwood, president CEO. And now you've got these three hires. So you've got some new faces in there, some new ideas. I like that. Adolfo Birch, he's got a lot of Nashville history. He went to Father Ryan High School, and his dad, A.A. Birch Jr., first African-American Chief Justice of the Tennessee Supreme Court, and it was the first ever judge to serve at every level of the Tennessee judiciary. So the city of Nashville has a courthouse named after Birch.
It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. That's kind of a big deal. We've got a big building named after you. So Adolfo comes in. He's worked in the league for a long time. You mentioned a couple of things, but I'm just looking at the extended press release here. He has done a lot of things in the NFL offices, including labor negotiations. That must have been fun. Managing the drug testing program, even more fun. Government relations, sports betting, employee development, and the league's critical response team. So, wow. In fact, another thing he did was the league's blackout rule, talking with the FCC about that. Remember the old blackout rule that they don't have anymore?
Well, baseball.
Thankfully.
Maybe
can you imagine if the blackout rule was still there? We'd have a little issue watching the Titans games.
You think? When was the last time we would be able to watch a game? Home game?
There wouldn't be too many.
Uh-uh. It would have been
a while. We'd have issues. We'd have issues.
No doubt. Well, Birch is set to start in his new role next month. Melendez spent 6 years with the Dolphins. Of course, being their creative, you know, being responsible for creative and content. We've talked about that. They need
well, this
a fresh
is,
perspective.
I mean,
right?
Honestly, I'd love to, you know, maybe at some point we'll get a chance to talk to him. If you Google him, there's some podcasts you can listen to. You can get a feel for his ideas. But this is a great challenge for him. I mean, he comes in here. And that is the number one thing. I don't know.
Is it really
one.
A challenge? He's got nowhere to go but up.
Well, okay. That's why it's got to be exciting for him, right? Because
right,
the
I'm
bar
saying, but
is
it's
pretty
not
low.
That challenging.
What is the number one? What is the number one thing people talk about when they go to a Titans game?
Experience.
The experience is not what it can be. Yeah. Not what it should be. So, and I think they've got the technology, right? They've put in the new boards. They've got the sound system. They have all the materials. They just need creativity. So this is a great move.
Well, it's like taking over the Lions as the new head coach, and they're coming off an 0-16 season. Yes, it has challenges. It is challenging. But you've got nowhere to go but up, you know, and that's kind of where he is with this job. Yes, it's challenging, as you said, but he's also got nowhere to go but up because the bar is set incredibly low. So – a guy with that experience, I guess, working with the Dolphins and being a part of their whole creative department down there at Hard Rock Stadium. I guess he's done stuff with Adidas. You know, the guy, he has to come in and go, oh, okay, we got all kinds of stuff we can do. Where do we start? That's probably going to be the first words out of his mouth. Where do we start? And finally, Dan Worley, who I said is the team's new general counsel, is coming to the Titans after working with the Nashville Soccer Club. So he's been with Nashville SC since they started. So, good hires. Very good hires. So, you know, it's always good to get some fresh blood in there. And obviously people with a lot of experience, some in this case know the market, know the league. Have done other things outside of it, so they've got perspective from elsewhere. I think all those boxes are checked, and that's a good thing.
I agree. And, you know, there has been, you know, in our discussion, we know the big discussion in not only sports but across America in the whole systematic racism is the lack of diversity in team front offices. With this helps that, right, for the Titans. So I think Amy Adams Strunk is to be commended for looking to try to improve on a number of fronts. And so this could be another really nice step in the right direction here on many, many levels.
Agree. 100%. All right, we'll come back. The general manager and COO of the Nashville Sounds, Adam Neuse, will join us. We'll talk about the news that we discussed yesterday on the show and what the Sounds have up their sleeve. We do that with Adam on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We talked a lot of baseball yesterday on the show, and we'll continue to do that today. Adam Neuse here in just a moment. Tim Kirchen coming up at high noon today. So we'll talk with Tim Kirchen, who's been covering the game for a long time. But right now we talk to the general manager and COO of the Nashville Sounds. Adam Neuse is indeed on the line with us. Adam, how you doing? Good morning.
And doing great. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, it's been a while since we talked. Let's just start with, we've certainly thought about you guys and your area where your ballpark is. It's been a rough 2020 because it all started with the tornadoes, and then it went straight into a global pandemic. So how's everything been? I mean, like I said, it's been a rough four or five months for you guys and that area.
Yeah, you know, it's been interesting. Yeah, it gave me goosebumps just hearing you talk about the what happened with the tornado and just the memories of that. And it was really fun thinking back. And like, we got that opportunity to be front porch to the community, and we stopped everything business-wise and put all our efforts into rebuilding Germantown and helping out wherever we could, and it was fun to see our staff kind of come together and do that, and now to look out and see how much progress has happened. You can barely tell that a tornado came through here now, and Germantown's been strong and back running strong but yeah, you think back at all those times and we made a donation, $100,000 donation, which was pretty big for us to the tornado relief, and that was right before our business was shut down. So
right.
Now looking back, we probably could have needed that money a little longer, but and it wouldn't do it any different. Glad to see Germantown coming back together and good things happening again.
In fact, I think I read something just the other day. Didn't the restaurant, the bar, sports bar, whatever, across the street, is that all open again? Did I see that? That's all open?
Yeah, so Von L. Rhodes opened up, and I think there's another bar down the street that's the guy on the roof right now working on it. So I think they should be opening, neighbors should be opening here pretty soon. But for the most part, everything's kind of back to normal and looking great.
Good to hear. So you're obviously hoping to get back to some type of normalcy. I don't know, you know, it will not exactly look the same, but certainly Jason Stark got everybody's attention. We saw the tweet, and from talking with some folks yesterday, it sounds like you weren't prepared to get this out there, but Jason Stark's tweet kind of got the ball rolling a little bit of ahead of schedule, where Nashville, you know, the Major League Baseball and Nashville Sounds were talking about a plan to, you know, host some free agents / players, kind of a pool to draw from, that you guys may have baseball at your stadium this year. How did this all come about? How long has this been in the works?
Yeah, so it started two or three months ago, a while back, and it was kind of an initiative of ours to, hey, if minor league baseball doesn't happen, what do we do? And we feel like our responsibility is to be a good community asset and bring quality of life to folks in Nashville and bring great events one way or the other. And so we talked about doing concert series and all sorts of different things, and this idea popped up that kind of right when the Oakland Athletics were releasing a lot of their players, they were one of the first teams to announce that they were releasing a bunch of minor league guys over $400 a week, and we kind of all thought that was crazy and felt bad for them, for these players, and thought it was an opportunity. Hey, we could put these players back to work. We could keep our staff working and give the city of Nashville something good to do again. And that was kind of the heart of how it began, and kind of through the approval processes of making sure we wouldn't get in trouble for it. Major League Baseball caught wind of it and wanted to be a part of it if they could. And then obviously, next thing we know, Jason starts tweeting about it, and it all blew up on us over the last couple of days.
And so you said you guys are prepared to do this with or without Major League Baseball. Is that correct?
That's correct. So we were originally planning on announcing this on Monday, and we were going to announce it that we were doing it on our own, and we were going to pay the players. We're going to just do this to get baseball back, again, assuming phase four comes to plan, and we can have people in the ballpark again late July. And then we actually had a conversation with Major League Baseball last Friday that indicated that this that the players took this out of the agreement. So we thought that that the deal was kind of behind us. And the next thing you know, Jason Stark tweets that out, and we find out that it was back on the table. So, again, kind of a roller coaster of events over the last couple of days, but either way, we're ready to go and bring some baseball back to Nashville as soon as we can.
Adam Neuse, General Manager, COO of the Nashville Sounds. And so you brought up phase four. How hopeful are you? Because that's critical for you guys that, you know, there's stuff out there that you hope by the third week of July that Davidson County will indeed, Nashville will be in phase four. And I guess your guys' plans are to host these games at 25% capacity. Is that correct?
Yeah, so that's we've been working with the health department and the mayor's office on kind of what that could look like, assuming that everything goes to plan. And we have a plan from a seating capacity standpoint there's some technology out there with Ticketmaster that we're working on that if you bought six tickets, then it automatically kills everything 6 foot around those. And so that's one option. There's another option where we just go in and assign blocks of seats that are not going to be within that 6 foot parameter. And when we do that, it works out to be about 25% capacity. And we're Metro owned facility, so we're not going to take any chances on breaking any rules that they put out there for us. So Metro Health's been really helpful in kind of what that plan looks like. And we feel like it works as long as the data trends in the right direction and we can get to phase four.
So how are you going to go about fielding these two teams, Adam? Is this going to be like the baseball version of the movie Invincible? Are you looking for some Vince Papales out there to come in there? How are you going to do this?
Well, I think my original plan was I've got a list of all the guys that were released, and I was just going to start calling them. But the new plan is just have Jason Stark tweet about it, and then everybody comes to me.
That's a good plan, actually.
After the last 24 hours, I've got so many agents and players that are interested in playing that just so many guys just trying to keep the dream alive, and it's amazing. The talent that's there is – I got a long list right now of just guys that – we're recently in the big leagues, so it feels like we could put two rosters of guys that have been in the big leagues in the last year and a half, and the talent is certainly out there, and it kind of goes to once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Most of these guys would never be available for us to have access to, but the world's interesting right now, and there's some great talent sitting out there out of work.
Adam Neuse is with us, and he's the general manager of the Nashville Sounds. We're talking about the hope, ability of playing some baseball over at the stadium. And Adam, along those lines, we were kind of looking at the names. We were just kind of going by veteran free agents that had not signed around the time that spring training had started, and a lot of those guys still, I mean, some of them have signed minor league deals since then. So we're talking about, in a lot of cases, am I correct, guys who might be in their 30s might have quite a bit of major league service time and are hoping for one more shot at it, and this would be a great opportunity for them to keep playing and maybe latch on with somebody before the season is over or maybe even make a good impression for next year.
Yeah, and that was our original hope, was that we could find guys like that, and that's really probably the more that we keep getting interest from some of these players. I think that's the direction that we have an opportunity to go. I think some of those guys that have played 5-7 years in the big leagues, they don't necessarily want to go and play in Fargo, North Dakota in an independent team. But the way that we have it structured is we play only on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and they would live in Nashville. I think it's a pretty good selling point for a lot of these guys that have had a lot of success. Just want to go to a good place in a good city and play some good baseball. So hopefully that's the selling point. They don't have to grind 7 days a week like they're used to and get to have some fun and stay exposed to the big league teams. So if there's a need, that they're ready to be filled.
So with that in mind, I got the sense that when you were talking a moment ago with Darren that you have a lot of interest here. So would you almost have to have tryouts? How would you select the team and who would manage the team? I mean, these are all things that we were having fun kicking around yesterday. It's such a fun project.
Yeah, so my title is general manager, but I have nothing to do with players typically. The Rangers give us every player. So as much as I think I can evaluate talent, the truth of it is I'll probably – if you played for the Braves last year, you're probably good enough for what we're trying to do. So a lot of it's going to come to probably word of mouth and guys that we trust that have played to tell us, hey, this guy's ready, this guy's good, this guy's a good teammate, a good guy for the community, good for our fans. And really back to the heart of this was we just want to give some of these – guys a chance to keep playing and doing their thing and try to take care of some of the good guys that are out there. And I don't know. Yeah, we've got some managers. That, again, back to Jason Stark's tweet. He had access to some great managers that are out there out of work, and I've gotten a lot of interest in doing that. So some of the guys have been big leaguers for a long time and relatively household names. So we'll see if we can pull all this together and have a pretty interesting product to watch.
No question about it. Adam Nuss is with us with the Nashville Sounds. We were curious about this, about just how this is all laying out. We're trying to familiarize ourselves with it. As we understand it, each major league organization will have 60 players that they will, I guess, bring to their spring training, and they'll end up using 30 to start the season. What are, for example, the team that you have the affiliation with, the Rangers, what will they do with their other 30 players? Where do they go? And is there any scenario where some of these teams say, you know, we'd like to have some of our players that are under contract with us play in these games? Or is this strictly people that are unsigned?
You know, right now it'd be strictly people unsigned. And that's kind of where Major League Baseball got involved originally, was we were making the ask to them if we could have access to some of these players that are under contract with nowhere to actually play. And basically came back that if they have this UPC, the player contract, in place, then they would be off limits. So it's kind of made a shift to the guys that are released and actually out on the streets trying to find work outside of baseball. And again, back to the heart of it, and if we can put these guys back to work and do some good during all this, it'd probably make us happier than putting some of the guys that are already under contract just in a playing situation. So,
yeah, from a goodwill standpoint, I could get that for sure. What have the conversations with the Rangers been like?
You know, they've been great. They help provide the list of available free agents. They've just been, their ownership's pretty involved with it, and they said they would get any of their players that we wanted that they released to come play here, and they've been really supportive of it this whole time, and they're kind of same boat as us. They just want to see these guys continue to live the dream. So they've been very supportive and couldn't be better partners in it.
Adam, last thing for me, you touched on this earlier as well, but did I hear you say that we basically have to get to phase 4 for you to be able to have some fans in the stands? I know you've been working closely with the health people. If we're still in phase 3 for some reason, could you still get some people in there, or is that just not going to meet the protocols?
It would have to be phase 4 as it's written right now. We've had some conversations about trying to be called an entertainment venue instead of a sports venue, and if somehow we could get reclassified into being an entertainment venue, I think in phase 3 there's some options to have 250 people in the ballpark, and that doesn't really help our business plan very much. It's already pretty tight going from 11,000 people in the stands to 2,000, but I don't know. Well, I think we're hopeful that as this progresses, that phase 4 can come sooner, or that phase 3 kind of gets loosened up a little bit more to allow sports venues to be open, but obviously, that's bigger issues than I can handle.
Adam, last thing quickly. Let's sneak this in because you've been able to put your eyes on this. Major League Baseball, with the shortened season, 60-game season, and expected to get cranked up here at the same time frame as hopefully you will as well. They're talking about extra innings, putting a runner at second. That's been used in the minor leagues. What do you think of that? What do you think we're in for? How have the experience been for you putting a runner at second in extra innings?
You know, we've had this conversation with some of our baseball purists in the office, our PR guy, our radio guy, and they were 100% against it coming into the season. And by the end of the season, they were 100% for it. They love the concept. It moves the game. There's nothing worse than getting 20 innings in and watching the second baseman come in and start pitching, and that's not really the goal of the game either. So I think overall it's been very well received, and that's a concept that we've taken a step further in this. We'd run all the same rules as baseball, except that if it ends in a tie, we'd go straight into a home run derby to settle the game, be done, not go through pitchers, not have to have second baseman pitch, and just get the game over in a unique way, and that would be kind of our only quirky thing that we'd be adding to,
wow,
to our games. So
who pitches that? Who gets to pitch that?
I don't know. Maybe the second baseman.
I mean,
I don't know.
That's interesting. Was that your – who came up with it? Was that your idea?
That is our director of marketing.
Okay.
Yeah. It was sparked from how many pitchers do we need, and
right,
worst-case scenario, we start getting into 20-inning games, do we have enough pitchers? And now that we're taking on payroll for players, which we're not used to, we get a little more picky on – we want to keep that expense as low as we can.
Sure.
So we can get through it. And we're like, hey, that might solve the problem and maybe make the game a little bit more fun.
Well, you said that the games.
So, Adam, do we have we're also trying to figure out the uniforms for these teams. Adam, we've got some designers, I'm sure. We just did a promotion with our listeners designing uniforms. So I don't know what you guys have up your sleeve, but would the teams be called the Sounds, or would you just have generic uniforms? Have you thought that far?
Yeah, so our main team will be the Sounds, so you're still coming to a Sounds game, and they got their great uniforms. And then the second team is probably the most hotly debated question in our office over the last couple months, and we don't have the right answer yet. So open to ideas if
okay,
you'll have them. We're not short on ideas. We're short on settling on the same opinion. So it's been fun, though.
Maybe they can be the Generals, and you guys are kind of like the Harlem Globetrotters. You know, the Sounds are the Globetrotters, and
yeah,
they can be the Generals.
You would want to stack the Sounds team, I guess.
stack the Sounds team.
Have a little more talent than the other team.
You kind of know the outcome. You know, the Generals are going to lose.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying that's something that came to mind. That's interesting. So real quick, because I'm very curious on why they were completely against it, and by the season's end, they were totally for it. So you got to see, so did it end games? Like, how quick did it end games? How much faster were you getting conclusion or finality to your games because of that rule?
Yeah, you know, I should send you a stat, and you can maybe send it out on Twitter. But there was a stat on how more efficient the extra innings were with that rule, and it's pretty fascinating. Again, I think the biggest thing was it kept it from going to a point that position players were pitching. And no fans want to watch that. You start seeing a guy throwing 60 miles an hour fastballs, just laying them up. It's not desirable. So it moved the game. I think most of the game started ending in 10th or 11th inning, and it just got it over with, which – again, it's painful to watch 21 innings of a game, baseball being played with a position player pitching. So,
especially on a Tuesday night,
perception was a lot better. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
that's probably selfish of getting home at a decent hour.
Sure.
And not staying here till 2 a.m.
Well, as you know, I mean that is a part of it today. I mean, people just aren't willing to do that. Like they used to, you know that. I'm sure you guys discussed that. People just are not willing to do that, especially during the week anymore.
Yep.
That's just not the way our society is geared currently. Well, if you tweet that out, either at your Twitter account or the Sounds or both, we'll definitely retweet it. I would like to look at that number. I think that would be very interesting. Hey, thanks for the interview and the time. Really appreciate it, as always.
Yeah, thanks so much. We'll talk soon.
All right, that is Adam Neuse, General Manager and COO of the Nashville Sounds. We'll come back and talk more about what we discussed with Adam and close up shop in hour number one of Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thank you, Dante. Don't forget Elliot Friedman coming up, our weekly chat with him at 1 o'clock today. Lots to get into with him. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, Special thanks to Adam Noose, General Manager of the Sounds and COO. Appreciate him lending a little insight into their plans for this upcoming summer. Don't forget, you can stream us from anywhere. You can download the Game Nashville app, which is free and easy. You can enable our Alexa skill or Google Home if you have those at your office or at home and ask it to play 102.5 The Game, or you can live stream it from our website from anywhere, and all you have to do is go to thegamenashville.com. In fact, before we get into that, you know, they are the Rangers affiliate. I don't know if you saw this, Willie, but I just saw pictures while we were talking to Adam of someone in Arlington or Dallas, whatever. They've tweeted out pictures of the new, what is it, Globe Life Field? Is that what it's called? The new Rangers Park, which was built right next door, the one that we were at last year when the Predators were playing the Stars.
Yeah, we were watching the construction of it.
Right. Well, you should see it. It's interesting. I don't know what to make of it. It's an interesting look. It is not.
Oh yeah, I was before everything shut down. I was reading up on this park. One of the things that will be something to watch there, not only retractable roof, right? That's the number one thing. So the heat won't be an issue like it has been for many, many years, where they had to play even Sunday games at night.
It's brutal
at times because it was
so hot down there. Yeah, it's brutal.
Yeah, but one of the other things that was an issue at the old park, the Arlington Stadium, and then the ballpark at Arlington, was the balls were flying out of there. It, you know, Coors Field is the worst, right? We know that. But, you know, behind that, Texas is one of the top, has always been one of the best hitters parks. This one, as I understand it, potentially could be a little more fair to the pitchers. Hmm. So that might be something to keep your eye on. Is how the ball travels in that park compared to the past parks down there. Of course, there's always a huge discussion about the ball, right? There was more home runs hit last year than any other year by far. In the last 3 or 4 years, home runs have been going up at a huge number. Nobody's hit 60, but it seems like everybody's a threat. Everybody's hitting at least 15, mm-hmm. right? It seems like. So I wonder if the ball will travel at the same type of distance this year.
Willie, I don't understand, and I've said this before. By the way, I didn't know that was retractable roof. When you look at it, it looks like a tin roof. I mean, it's a different look. I'll just put it to you that way. You have to go look at the pictures that are out there surfacing. And I guess, what are they going to do with the stadium directly next door to it? It was Globe Life Park, right? Now it's Globe Life Field. Is that correct? What are they doing with the old place? Are they going to keep it or tear it down?
I forget I feel like we were asking that question when we were there.
Yeah.
Of course, we had free reign of the suite, right? They rolled out the red carpet.
Boy, they sure
with us
did.
Thanks to Sean Henry helped us, you know, get set up there. We had a great spot. We were watching right from the foul pole with all these great amenities at our disposal. And at some point, I think I asked somebody, what are they going to do with this? And I don't remember what the answer was.
Yeah. Well, we were
funny how that works.
We were watching Mike Minor throw a gem that night.
Yeah, he pitched a great game. He had a great year. Mike Minor,
yes,
very quietly, it, you know, as we said, that's not an easy place to pitch, and he had a great bounce back year.
I don't understand why anybody, and I mean anybody, pick a sport. If you are building something new, I don't know why you would not have a retractable roof. Like, why? I do not understand that. Like, why would you eliminate rainouts? Why wouldn't you eliminate rain delays? Like, the Minnesota Twins,
it would seem to be worth the cost over the long haul.
Right. Because if it's nice,
especially in baseball,
then open it up. If it's crappy, the game must go on and shut the roof. Like, Minnesota built this, you know, park for the Twins. It's like, why would you not have a roof? I don't understand why anybody would build open air today. Eliminate the elements. If it's beautiful, open the sucker up. If it's not, then shut it, and nobody, it doesn't affect anything. You know, people don't want to go to baseball games if they think it's going to rain the whole time, or there's a, you know, strong chances of rain or delay. Close it up. I mean, I don't know why anybody just builds open air. It's just, to me, it's silly. Just go the extra mile, build the roof, and you know that nothing is going to prevent that day on the schedule. Nothing's going to stop it. right? You don't have any delays. So I don't get that. I've never understood that, especially today. You know, I think football stadiums too. Like, I don't know why. I get it. They're going to play no matter what, but why not? You're looking for every advantage to get people. We talk about it here, right? Eliminate excuses from the fans.
Right.
Because people have more reasons to stay at home. And if it's really, really, really cold, or really, really, really hot, or it's a really, really crappy day, eliminate those excuses. If you have the controlled environment, you can look at your fan base and the ticket agent can say, I don't know what you're talking about. It's going to be 72 in there. It's going to be perfect. You're not going to get wet, or you're not going to be cold, or you're not going to be hot. It's going to be perfect in there. It's going to be like sitting in your home. You know, why not just do that? I continue to scratch my head on why every new facility in sports does not have a controlled environment. Maybe that's just me. I don't know.
I don't know what the extra cost is. Let's say it were.
Did Willie get zapped?
Yep.
I think Willie got zapped. It's been a while since that's happened, huh?
Yeah, it's long overdue.
Have you thought about that, Marquise? I mean, honestly, like, why every sport doesn't do that? I mean, I know, understand it's going to cost more. I get it. But if you're already building these palaces anyway, I mean, just go the extra mile. It's like buying, a house or a car. If you're spending a certain amount of money, let's say you're building your home and it's a nicer home, yeah, okay, so some of the amenities or some of the things you want to do are going to drive up the cost, but if you're already spending that for a beautiful new home, then why not just get what you want? Just pay the extra. You know, in the end, it'll benefit you. If it means dropping a pool in there from the get-go, yeah, it stings a little. Price goes up, but you get to enjoy that pool, you know, when you move in. And I don't know.
I mean, we've seen
not
them.
A great example. But.
Yeah, but we've seen them with the newer NFL stadiums. Like when you look at the Raiders' new stadium in Las Vegas, when we look at the one in Los Angeles with, you know, the Chargers and the Rams, I think the newer stadiums are starting to add that element of retractable roofs now.
Yeah. Chase just texted us.
Most of them are. I'm wondering, what's the cost? What's the extra cost of putting the roof on there? It's got to be pretty significant.
Sure.
Right? But as we were saying before, how much money do you recapture over time of fans that wouldn't otherwise go, or games that would be canceled otherwise?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be an important thing too, Darren, is to not overuse the roof. I would much rather go to a game where the roof's open, if there's any way to do that. Right? I went to the only game I ever went to at Sky Dome, back when it was called Sky Dome, it's Rogers Center or Rogers Stadium, whatever it is now, where the Blue Jays play. That was the first one. And I happened to go to a game where the weather was beautiful at the beginning of the game. Great day to be out at the park. And then somewhere in like the sixth or seventh inning, they had to close the roof, and they never stopped the game.
Willie,
it was really cool. The roof closed gradually as the game was going
yes.
on.
I experienced that 3 years ago. Blue Jays, Red Sox. I'm watching Mookie Betts. It's a packed house. They've got 50,000 people there. And about the fifth inning, it started to – or actually, it hadn't started yet. But the roof started closing, and I'm like, huh, well, bad weather must be coming. And it's about halfway getting closed. And, yeah, it's starting to rain. And it wasn't long after that. It was closed. But they didn't miss a beat. It just kept going. That I experienced the same thing, and it didn't interrupt anything. Think about it. You got a packed house in Toronto, which isn't common, I don't think. The Blue Jays haven't exactly been stellar lately. There's 50-plus thousand there. Of course, the Red Sox had a lot to do with it, and this was 3 years ago, and they didn't miss a beat. Think about it if they had an hour rain delay. They probably come back and 10, 15,000 people have gone home. They're like, the heck with it. Right, and then you don't have the same atmosphere, or maybe even more people go home than that. By the way, Chase texted us and said they were keeping the old ballpark for the XFL. Well, probably don't have to worry about that anymore, huh? probably no reason to keep it for that.
Might
that
need
sounds
to find
right.
Another tenant.
It sounds right. I think that is right that they were keeping it for the XFL team. So what stood out to you?
Well, I wonder what they'll be able to find something. Otherwise, you might just knock it down and have the space to park.
Yep. No doubt. So what jumped out at you with the conversation with Adam?
Well, there's a lot of things. It sounds like there's going to be no shortage of players, and we speculated this yesterday, who would like to play or looking for a place to play, dying to have a place to play, especially if they can make a little money. The health thing is interesting to me, right? There's things out of their control, right? If you're reading up on cases, I know Tennessee is kind of holding steady. It's hanging in there, but the caseload is going up. I know that the hospital beds starting to go up a little bit, still manageable in our state, but of course, all around us, there's states that are having big, big increases. And I know yesterday in Davidson County, it was not the best day. You know, I've been trying to check every day. I think we had, 80 or 90 more than we normally have on a given day. And so can we get to phase four? And he also said, if it's not phase four, there's going to have to be some modifications on what that venue is considered in order to pull this off. And I wonder if they can tackle that. You know, it's an important venue, right? And it sounds like they're trying to take all of the precautions with the health department to try to do this right. I really hope they can pull it off. But again, what direction are we going here? Are we heading in the right direction? I don't know. Some states are through the worst of it and have it managed pretty well. Other states, not ours, but some of them are, you look at Florida and Texas, they're really having some rises right now in cases. So let's just keep our fingers crossed, and we've got to keep doing the right things. Every single one of us has a responsibility. If we're doing what we can, that helps us maybe have better chances of seeing these games.
Yep. What jumped out to me is Adam Neuse had some staffers with the Nashville Sounds that were completely against the runner at second. Too gimmicky, not for them, did not like that at all, and by season's end, they were totally fine with it, which is interesting. That's why I said yesterday when you asked me, I guess when we were talking about it at the end of the show, I said, well, let me see it first, or when we were talking about it during the show. So let me see it first. I'm not gonna say one way or the other. I have no idea whether I'll like it or hate it. Let's see it. Let's see what it's like. It's going to be implemented, and let's see if we give it the thumbs up or thumbs down. May love it, may hate it, may go, don't really know how I feel over, because I don't know how much we will see it over just a 60-game season. But that was interesting that he said that. I did want to pass along that the ACC commissioner, the Atlantic Coast Conference Commissioner John Swofford, who's been their commissioner for a long time, I guess almost 25 years, has said that he's going to retire after the 2020-21 academic year. So that is news that has been breaking. Also, Churchill Downs says the rescheduled Kentucky Derby and Oaks will run this fall with spectators under strict guidelines to limit crowd density for the race that usually gets more than 100,000 people. We brought this up yesterday in the interview when we had Jackie McMullen on. Don Van Atta is going to join us next from ESPN, and he's going to be a part of something they're going to air Sunday night on ESPN around the decision. We all remember the decision with LeBron James. We'll tell you what we're talking about, and we'll talk to Don about that to start the second hour of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.